We are the land down under, and over the next couple of weeks we're going underground here on It's Just Not Cricket. And my first guest, well, we've been meeting the members of the ANZEC Club, the Australia and New Zealand Explorers Club, all year. It's been a great privilege and a great joy. Holy smokes, do I have a guest for you today to talk about being underground, to talk about adventure and exploration, and a word I don't use lightly, my friends, heroism, the 2019 Australian of the Year, Dr. Richard Harry Harris, is my guest. Harry, nice to have you on. How you doing?
G'day, Glenn. I'm great. Thank you.
Really great to have you on. We were listening to a little bit of you just a couple of minutes ago talking about your work in the Thai cave rescue, of course, yourself and Craig Challen, your partner in crime underground, named the 2019 Australians of the Year. Huge congratulations, an incredible honour for you. I want to talk a little bit about, I guess, some of the stuff we don't know about you. And if we are going Australia underground, was it the diving first, Harry, or was it the caves that drew you?
Well, it is nice to talk about something apart from the Thai cave rescue, Glenn, so thank you for that.
No worries.
Look, it was the diving for me. I mean, real cave divers come from a background of caving first, and then they're progressing through a cave and they meet a body of water and they go, oh, if I want to find out what's on the other side of that, then I better go away and learn to dive. But some of us came from the other direction. I was a diver first, and that was something that I started as a very young man. In fact, as a young teenager, I was lucky enough to be surrounded by family and friends who were, you know, spending all their spare time on the water, and some of them were divers, and so I got introduced to it through family friends at the age of about 13 or 14, so it's been a very big part of my life.
What is cave diving in essence? How do you simply describe it?
Well, it is scuba diving, but not as we know it, Jim, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. So, you know, you're taking scuba technology, but you're using it to dive underwater, underground. And the obvious and most important difference is that if you have some kind of problem, you can't just go straight back up and find the surface and start breathing the atmospheric air again. You have to go out before you can go back up. So if you're a kilometre underground, underwater, then you need to, you know, go back a kilometre before you can find relative safety. So because of that, there's some obvious hazards inherent in the sport, and we take enormous precautions to make sure that it's safe for us. And that mainly revolves around a lot of training and also lots of redundancy in all our equipment. So we always have at least two different sources of air to breathe, multiple lights, all different stuff that keeps us safe in case of a single failure.
Harry, why? Yeah. Why, Harry, why?
Well, that's the next question, isn't it? So there's two reasons for me. One is that the caves are often exquisitely beautiful places, and it's hard to describe the beauty of them without sort of taking you to look or showing you some pictures. But often the water is crystal clear. I mean, we talk about gin clear water, and you'll only realise what I mean when you see the difference between cave water and the clearest tropical water you can imagine. It's like chalk and cheese. It's extraordinary, and it feels like you're floating through space. It really does. So it's a beautiful feeling to swim through these tunnels. It's almost effortless, and you know, the beauty of the geology and the biology and the stuff you see is amazing. The second part of it is exploration, because in this day and age, it's very hard to genuinely find something that is untouched or unseen by another human. Whereas in caves and cave diving, you can walk around the corner in a tunnel and behold, in front of you is something that you are literally the first person on the planet to see or witness. And that's hugely exciting and addictive, actually, once you start to find stuff for yourself.
Well, that kind of gave me goosebumps. I see that. That is true exploration and you used Star Trek before, so I'll join you, to go where no man, no person has gone before. How many do you reckon you've done?
How many cave dives?
Yeah.
Oh, look, compared to some really hardcore guys, not that many, but maybe 1,000 or so. You know, the same sort of number in open water or, you know, in the ocean and so forth. But some of these dives last, you know, 2, 3, or in extreme cases, the longest dives I've done are 16 hours underwater. So, you know, you get. Yeah, I think you can count some of these dives as more than one in a way because they're pretty prolonged and arduous.
What an incredible guest I have for you here on It's Just Not Cricket, ABC Radio across Australia. It is 20 minutes past and we are beginning a theme of Australia Underground. This man knows about pressure and he knows about underground. He is the joint 2019 Australian of the Year. Harry Harris is my guest. Dr. Harry Harris, the anaesthetist, the cave diver, the hero. I've said Australian of the Year, but can I tell you, Star of Courage, Medal of the Order of Australia, and this is my absolute favourite one, Harry, and you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation, Knight Grand Cross First Class of the Most Admirable Order of the Durkan Caborn.
What was Durkunapun?
What is that?
It's a Thai award for contributing to the Thai culture and society, I think. It was an enormous privilege to receive that from the Prime Minister in Thailand, as Craig and some of the Australian Federal Police members did as well.
That's quite a list you've got there. So 1,000. Dives, you reckon. The idea of going where no one has gone before is an incredible lure. Have you ever, you've been involved in saving other lives. Have you ever feared for your own?
Oh, I've had a few frights along the way, and that's a normal thing, I think, in any adventure sport. The key to survival in these sports is to do things very gradually and incrementally. So you get small frights along the way, which teach you a lesson, not big frights that injure or kill you. So, I think if you talk to any mountain climber or, any of a number of adventure sports, the hazards are very obvious in these sports, but the risks can really be very easily mitigated by the things I've talked about, like good training and good equipment and preparation.
Do you have a favourite dive you've done?
Oh, I've got so many favourite dives. It's an impossible question. It's pretty much the last cave dive that I did is usually my favourite because that's the one that's freshest in my mind. But there are some spots around the world which are particularly exquisite. The crystal caves of Abaco in the Bahamas, where a good friend of mine, Brian K. Cook, operates and conserves the caves, are just full of amazing chandelier crystals throughout the caves underwater. The beautiful big caves of the Nullarbor Plain, like Cocklebitty Cave, are spectacular. There's so many all around the world.
The crystal caves of Abaco. It sounds like science fiction or fantasy, doesn't it? And I guess that's part of the world you feel like you're inhabiting when you're down there.
Yeah, well, I can recommend people Google and have a look at some YouTube videos about those caves in particular because they will blow your mind. It's just you can't believe there's so many crystals and formations still safely being preserved underwater. And swimming through them is like you feel like a bull in a china shop. That's the terrifying part of diving in those caves, is the feeling you might break something.
Yeah, something that's been there a couple of million years and exactly. You nudge it with your elbow. Harry Harris is my guest, Dr. Richard Harry Harris, the 2019 Australian of the Year. Let's take a second. You are the joint Australian of the Year with Craig Challen, who joined you in the Thai cave rescue and is your diving partner. What does friendship mean when you're that far under the ground and away from everyone else?
Well, it's all about trust, isn't it? And again, there's two parts to this. The first part is that you spend a lot of time sleeping in a tent and roughing it out in remote locations when you're diving these caves. So a large part of the time is sitting around the campfire in the evening, having a yarn and having a beer and, cooking some nice food. So you don't want to be surrounded by people you don't really get on with. So that's a big part of it. And we've got a great friendship group of, at least a dozen people around the country and more again internationally who I just love spending time with because we share this passion. But Craig and I have a sort of a special friendship in that we have a common interest in deep exploration in particular. There's not that many people around the world who seem to be interested in exploring the very deep underwater caves, and that's something that Craig and I have carved out a little bit of a niche in. And so, we share that fascination. There's lots of interesting physiology and physics and stuff that comes into play when you start going deep underwater.
How deep is deep, Harry?
Well, the deepest dive that Craig and I have done is a cave in New Zealand, which we've dived to 245 metres, and that's the one that took 16 hours basically to return to the surface, decompressing along the way. But I think anything over, you know, 40 metres deep is beyond the normal recreational limits. So, you know, other complicating factors start to come into play then.
If you're just joining us, hello. You shouldn't have just joined us because we've been having a wonderful chat with the 2019 Australian of the Year, Harry Harris. But don't worry, I'll put this online and you can have a listen. We are going underground for the next couple of weeks here on It's Just Not Cricket. Minutes passes the time right now here on ABC Radio across Australia. Wonderful to talk to you today, and wonderful to talk to Harry Harris, the hero of the Thai cave rescue, of course, but we're sharing so much more of his journeys. That wasn't the first cave rescue you've been involved with, and they're not always such happy outcomes, Harry.
Well, sadly, it's the first successful cave rescue I've been involved
in. The first successful one.
Yeah, unfortunately, the others have been body recoveries. But, you know, we've spent a lot of time training for an event like this, although obviously we never anticipated that it could be a bunch of kids in a different country that we'd be going to assist with the rescue. But we have, over the last 10 years, done quite a lot of training about, you know, just imagining that, for example, you're in a dry part of the cave, you fall, you break your leg, and then to get rescued, you have to be taken out through an underwater section of the cave. So we've practiced that quite a lot, and I actually run a little training course in Australia and New Zealand to try and help other cave divers think about those issues. So we were kind of ready for this thing in Thailand, but it was way beyond what we expected in terms of size and complexity.
Ignoring the skill, ignoring the technical side of it, what makes a great cave diver? What are the qualities you think you have, or you look at Craig, or you look at your fellow cave divers and you recognise?
Look, it's much more about the cerebral side of the sport than any physical aptitude. I mean, a lot of us, well, I'll certainly speak for myself, I am no athlete. I completely lack most coordination and ball skills. So it was nice to find something that I could, become accomplished in. Gravity is definitely not my friend. You know, I don't really like the dry caving. I enjoy floating through the water. It seems to be a bit more suited to my physique. So it's about the mental stuff, you know, staying calm, being able to problem solve with a bit of a clock ticking in the background. I mean, if you're carrying a finite amount of air to breathe and you get stuck, then the clock's on and you have to solve that before your air runs out. And when that first happens, that's pretty frightening, as you can well imagine, and your heart rate starts to go up and your breathing rate goes up, so the clock actually gets faster when that happens. So it's all about remaining calm and almost in a sort of meditative state, which I guess as someone who works in that space of critical care medicine, where sometimes, you know, patients are deteriorating rapidly in front of you, I've found that I seem to be suited to that kind of rapid problem solving, maybe, and I actually quite enjoy it.
Do you have a what's next? Is there a cave you've got in mind?
Well, this one in New Zealand remains incomplete. We're still exploring that actively, and it's still continuing along and deeper, but I think we've just about reached the safe limits of what we can do there, but we might consider one more trip back there. There's a huge list of caves around the world that I'd love to go and have a look at, and I better crack on before I get too much older.
If I only let you go back to one cave in Australia, which one would you choose?
There's a cave out on the lower plain of the Nullarbor, which is very extensive. There are well over 10 kilometres of networked tunnels underwater, which are just beautiful, found and mainly explored by a friend of mine in Western Australia, Paul Hosey, and that still offers enormous opportunities for exploration. It's an unspoken thing that in caving and cave diving we don't really talk about locations and names of these places, because we don't want people who are untrained or ill prepared to go out there and put themselves at risk. But out on the Nullarbor there's lots of good stuff.
That's a pretty general spot, so you should be safe there. If I only let you go to one cave anywhere in the world, where would you go?
I would probably go straight back to those caves in the Bahamas and spend time with my friend Brian over there, because he's A, he's such a nice bloke, and B, the caves, you know, are to die for. Not literally, of course, but you know what I mean. That was a bad choice of words.
You've had a bit of a chance to reflect, like all of us, during coronavirus and with your medical career and kind of taking a pause in your life. You've got a very strong sense of looking ahead, like all of the members of the Australia New Zealand Explorers Club that I've spoken to. Do you have a sense of one day when you do stop, what it will be that you would miss the most?
Oh, the friendships more than anything, absolutely. And that time around the fire in the evenings is the most special part of the activities. The actual diving can be pretty hard work, pretty cold and miserable sometimes. And it's like many pastimes, it's always better in the retelling sometimes than in the actual doing. So maybe it's like childbirth. You think at the time, I'll never do this again. But then a week later, you think, oh, that wasn't so bad. I wouldn't mind having another go.
Harry, it has been wonderful having you on. I imagine we're going to hear more about the Thai cave stuff. I imagine there's more stories that you'll be telling on that in the next year or so.
Well, if you're alluding to the movie scene, we're not directly involved in the MGM movie that's coming out, but right. I just hope they choose someone suitably handsome and robust to reflect well upon me.
Have you got an actor in mind for Harry?
No, but you know, an Australian would be good. I don't like people who do bad Australian accents, so choose a good-looking Aussie and I'll be happy.
Harry, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations on your many awards, even the ones I can't pronounce, and of course, particularly the Australian of the Year 2019, yourself and Craig Challen. But what a fascinating journey underground with you today. I really appreciate you taking the time, mate.
Absolutely, my pleasure, Glenn. Thank you.
All the very best. What a great bloke, Richard Harry Harris. There's more than one story with that bloke, isn't there? Dr. Richard Harry Harris, the 2019 Australian of the Year, beginning our journey underground and continuing our journey of great Australian adventurers and explorers here on It's Just Not Cricket.
It's Just Not Cricket
with Glenn Greensmith
on ABC Radio.